Book of Psalms, chapter 131. This pollen has gotten rough. So this is an exciting time of year. School ending and a bunch of kids graduating here. And it's been really neat for me to go to the different events and see, you know, our kids representing us in different things. And earlier this week, we had an art show at the Bowden Library, and Jenna was in it, and Madison Ivy was in it, and one of the other girls in their class doesn't go here, but it was just really neat. Madison's a great artist. She does a great job. Really impressive. But also seeing the kids at the prom walk out and, you know, the way they carry themselves with dignity and represent us well. So a lot of the kids, Dalton was there, right? Looking good. Shades and everything. I like that. Looking sharp. But our Liberty young people, shouldn't say kids, young people, represent us very well in the community, and I'm proud of that. So tonight we're going to talk a subject that might be a little challenging for some of us. I know it is for me, but the topic is humility. So I had an incident this evening on the way home that I think maybe leads into this subject of humility. You guys, I don't know if you drive on the interstate much, but nowadays they've got these red lights right at the ramp of the interstate, and then they green light, red light, green light. They kind of turn you loose and let you go, let the next one go so you come down to the ramp and ease in. Well, sometimes a green light will go twice on one side, you know, if it's not triggering the system right or whatever. So I come up to my light, the person in front of me went, and as soon as I got up there, I had a green light, so I thought, oh, that was quick. So I take off down the ramp. And then I look up behind me, and there's a guy in a truck, right on my bumper. And he's all in the windshield, you know, just giving me, I mean, just hot, mad. And I kind of look at him, and, you know, I'm thinking, and I felt it in my belly. I felt just a little bit of rage pop up. And I thought, no, it's okay. It's all good. And he's just going. So I go, okay, he'll process it, because we all got this fight or flight thing. And, you know, the truth is, if I really think about it, it could be that I jumped the light. I didn't have that intention, but in his mind, if I actually jumped the light, then he thinks I just disrespected him and cut him off or whatever. So I'm like, okay, that happens, but, you know, no hard feelings. And he's getting through his fight or flight stuff. And once those chemicals process, you know, he'll be all good. He gets everything said. I can't understand him, but I don't think he was praising me during that time. And he was actually using these fingers, I think. I kind of focused in on that, which was pretty good. That showed some restraint, but it was just all up, you know, it's just wide open. So I figured, you know, he'll pass in just a few seconds. Get all the way down to the bottom of the ramp, and, you know, that's where you stop again, and you're starting to merge into the traffic, and he's still at it. I'm going, well, this may not end well, because right now we're stopped, and, you know, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not into that anymore. No, I got nothing to do with that, but I'm not going to be drug out of my car either, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't know how far he was going to take this, but he's still going. I'm going, all right, I guess we'll just, you know, see what happens here. We get out into the traffic, and he disappears. I go, okay, you know, he processed it. He's good. We're all good. I get on up good minute or two later, and he pulls up beside me, and then pulls on in front of me. Okay, he's over it. He's good. Then he starts swerving in front of me like this, and the beast starts to rise up, and I'm thinking, you know, there was a time where it would have been like, this is going to be a two-way situation, and you're not going to, you know, it'd be a prideful thing that you're not going to disrespect me like that, and there'd be a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of exchange, possibly. I mean, possibly there's a version of me that might have wanted to do that. But I was thinking, you know, he did that five or six times. And I'm going, I'm just going to sit here. I took a calm posture. I had my hand up on the other seat, and I'm just kind of tapping out a little tune. I'm going, if I keep myself calm, you know, this is going to die down. Everything's going to be cool. So that's exactly what happened. He eventually slowed down. I kind of pulled up beside him. I didn't give him a whole lot of feedback, and he moved on. But I was thinking, I was like, you know, he didn't know me from anybody. He didn't know what I had going on. He sure didn't know what I've done in my life or where I've been. Maybe he's, because I was wearing this shirt, maybe he saw a button-up shirt and thought maybe, you know, easy target, whatever. But at the end of the day, he doesn't know if I'm a trained fighter. He doesn't know if I'm packing. He has no idea. What level of arrogance does it take for someone to be that bold and that aggressive to a random stranger on the street? Because, I mean, I'm, you know, I think I can handle myself okay, but I'm not just trying to jump on anybody out there in society, because you never know what somebody can do or what they're going to do. And he pretty much put himself very much at risk of having a really bad situation because for whatever reason he felt like he could take on a random stranger. And I'm no Mike Tyson, but you know, that could have ended poorly for it. Did you guys see that video of the guy that actually on a plane took on Mike Tyson? Did anybody see that recently? You saw it, Dalton? So if you didn't see it, basically this young man, probably in his 20s, maybe early 30s, had probably been drinking on the plane. But Mike Tyson's just sitting in a seat and just minding his own business. Well, this guy has his friend videoing him. He's messing with Mike Tyson from behind his head. And he's making jokes at him, leaning over him, you know, really being kind of pestering Mike. And evidently it wasn't on video, but the report was that he'd thrown some water at him or some water bottles. Well, so Tyson's fighting style was the peekaboo style. If you never follow Tyson, but he did this right here, and he kind of bounced around, and he kept his punches in pretty close, and it was up like this, and every now and then he'd come around with this, but it was all real tight into his body, and there was tremendous power there. A normal human couldn't take a punch from a guy like that, even in his, I guess he's probably in his 60s now, I don't know, but even at this age, you don't mess with a trained fighter. Well, this kid just kept pushing it. And kept pushing it. So Mike gets up and leans over the seat, and he never really brought his elbows to full extension, so you could tell he wasn't trying to hurt the boy. But he put his head in a little bit of a washing machine effect like that right there, and bounced the boy's head back and forth until he disappeared, you know, down between the seats. Then it showed a video of him later, just sitting there, just all kind of bloodied up. And I'm thinking, what arrogance! It's one thing to on an interstate to try to take on and be aggressive toward just a rank stranger in a white button-up shirt, but to literally have the arrogance to go pick at Mike Tyson until he finally snaps on you, oh my goodness, what kind of arrogance might that take? We take a lot of chances in life, but that's not one of them I plan on taking personally. So I'm going to study just a little bit in the book of Psalms. Now, this Psalm 131 was written by David. David, if you'll remember, he had some testosterone about himself as well. He took on a bear and a lion, and he won those battles. He took on Goliath, and he won that battle. If you recall, David was anointed king as a very small child. And as a ruddy little lad, if you'll recall. And he was the rightful suitor or had the rights to the kingdom even long after Saul was still sitting in the seat. And he had a path to where at one point Saul was against David because the people were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And there was jealousy involved. So David, no doubt, was a mighty man. And the Lord had made him that. And the Lord had given him many, many victories. And I think anyone that had that kind of level of victory in their life would tend to be, you know, most people tend to be a bit arrogant. David had God's purpose on his life. Like I said, he was anointed king, but he had to wait, and he had to wait, and he had to wait. And he had opportunity take Saul out, and he did not do that. He said, "I don't want the kingdom that way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lay a hand on the king. I'm going to respect that position." So he writes Psalms 131, and I just want to kind of explore that just a little bit tonight. Matter of fact, Charles Spurgeon calls Psalms 131 one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. And I think we all struggle somewhat with maybe humility. Verse 1, it says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, nor in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." So let's just kind of start breaking down verse 1 there. He says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty." So David was king, and I'd say David was a bit special. He did have God's anointing on him. As I said, he was chosen by God, anointed by Samuel to be king, and he wouldn't lay a hand on Saul, even though he had opportunity to do so. I don't think that's like a lot of us. Sometimes when we think we have rights to a position or rights to the next level, we'll sometimes do whatever it takes to get there, even if it means hurting other people. We got to really guard ourselves against that, because it's not just the destination that matters in life. It also matters how we get there. So just that destination spot is not what we're going for. God honored, anointed David, but he could not have honored David if David hadn't taken the right path to the seat. Have you guys ever felt special like David here? Like maybe you're on a path that you didn't necessarily earn? I know I've felt that way sometimes in my life. As a matter of fact, I'd say many of us were on a path that we never would have thought would lead us to a church house on a May Wednesday night. I know for a fact that at one point in my life, I was on a path to a much different place than this church house, especially on a Wednesday night. You know, I remember many years ago, my lifestyle was such that I just really wasn't proud of the choices I was making. And I was saved, and I had the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I remember laying in the bed at night thinking, I'm not going to wake up. I really believe that if I couldn't fulfill the purpose that God had for my life, and if I continued down the path that I was on, that there wouldn't be much need for me to stay on the earth. And that conviction haunted me until finally, a change was made in my life. And I'm grateful that there's conviction in the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful that we can't be comfortable in sin, and we can't be comfortable in a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. God wouldn't have us to sit in sin. We all are going to sin. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to fall. But like my grandmother used to say, it's one thing to get roaches in your house. It's another thing to keep them. And it's the same thing with sin. It's one thing to get a little sin on you. It's another thing to just stay in that sin and wallow in that situation. So I'd say a lot of us are special, and we have been treated special to be on a path that would get us to this place. God's blessed us. In verse 1, it also says, "Nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." So it's interesting to me that King David would be talking about not exercising things in things that are lofty or too high for him. He's in the highest seat in the land. How can he do things that are too high for him? The truth is, no matter what station we get to in life, no matter what privilege God allows us to have in life, we can still reach beyond what he's blessed us, and we can get in places that are too lofty for us. Those are the things that are out of his will, and the things that we shouldn't be reaching for beyond what's in his purpose for us. David said, I'm not doing that. He was in his spot doing God's will, and some things are too high and would have required him to reach outside of God's will. You know, we'll be faced with chances in life to climb in the expense of God's will. Those are the things that are too high. There's no height that's worth getting to if it pulls us out of God's will. Reaching for them can cause our destruction. I've seen it so many times. People are chasing that promotion or chasing that situation. They end up having to go do something that maybe move states. And I'm not saying that's always out of God's will, but they go do something that separates their family. And next thing you know, they're living in one state, their family's living in another state, and the stresses that can cause. Nothing's good about that. And I don't mean to judge other people's choices or other lifestyle, but I've seen it fall enough times to know that it's not always a good choice. And reaching for that next thing at all costs is certainly not what God would have us to do. In verse 2 it says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even weaned as a child. This verse speaks to the maturity, kind of the growing up or the next stage. We waste a lot of time not growing. I'll say in my life I can look back and go, why didn't I just figure that out 5 years sooner? It would have saved me a lot of pain. Why couldn't I just become content in this situation a little bit earlier? Why couldn't I just knock a little bit of that pride off and not have to fight every fight and not have to get myself in a situation? The Christian life sometimes is like a baby that hasn't been weaned. Never satisfied without being coddled. You know, some of us feel like we need to be petted on and coddled. Sometimes our emotional lives are the same. We expect people to kind of come in behind us and coddle us. God doesn't need us to be that way. He needs us to be mature and weaned off of those things, and so that we can help and support others. The verse also speaks of being settled and satisfied in the Lord, not seeking more for self. A lot of times we're very self-centered. I wonder if we, at least for me, myself, if I put a big scale up here and I looked at the energy that I put into myself and the energy that I put into others, you know, how the scales would weigh sometimes. You know, the truth is I'm a pretty self-centered person. And I've sought the higher things in life, you know, probably way too often. F.B. Meyer said, I used to think that God's gifts were on the shelves, one above another. And the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath another. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. God can bless humility. Another writer said, let me suggest to you, you consider the difference between dogs and cats. The master pets a dog, and the dog wags his tail and thinks he must be a god. But the master pets a cat, and the cat purrs, shuts his eyes, and thinks to himself, I must be a god. Though Jesus in grace reached down to us, there is still a perverse human tendency to think like the cat. In verse 3 it says, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. So David is trying to lead Israel to find the contentment that he's found in the Lord. God chose David for that purpose. When a leader is in God's will, masses of people benefit. But when a leader is not in God's will, it hurts everyone involved. You know, we're all leaders in some respect, in our families, maybe in our jobs, maybe in our church. We're all leaders and we influence people. It really matters if we're in God's will or not. So how does that help us? Let's consider. I want to consider a little bit the passage that Brother Ken came close to last Sunday. If you'll turn to Luke 14. Over in Luke 14. He picked up after these verses, but these verses caught my attention. Luke 14, we're going to start in verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. When he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying to them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto you, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat. Verse 11, for whomsoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, Christians don't have to fight for a higher place. We are not called to go scramble and scrape for the highest seat. We're called to minimize ourselves and to emphasize our Christ. And if Christ decides, then he can promote us to a higher seat. If God wants to promote us, he can do it with honor and blessing if we can start our days and our lives and approach our lives with humility, instead of having to demote us with shame and correction if we try to put ourselves at too high of regard. It's the Lord that would place us. It's not for us to jump out front, to be the loudest, the most opinionated. It's not for us to manipulate the spotlight so that it'll follow our steps. It's for God to give that blessing and to give that honor. It's for us to be humble and to show humility in our lives. Verse 11, read that again. For whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thank you for your attention tonight.